morning, ladies and gentlemen, out there in the podcast community. Welcome to another episode of Building a Dream. Today's topic is kind of a mesh of things. It's the millennial athlete and the dangers that we've created with this millennial athlete. You know, you see so many times on the internet and everything else that's happening around us, how the athlete is, you know, the cat's meow, he's a star. He's being catered to. And what's ended up happening with that is we've created a culture now where in order for a athlete or a person to produce now, there has to be some carrots. There's no longer about just hard work and dedication. It's all about what can they get, or what do they get before they even begin to compete, begin to produce, begin to work. And the danger with that is that that's not realistic. That's not a real taste of what happens outside of this, you know, this sports world. You're not going to be able to go to work and tell the boss, hey, before I come in to work for you, I need, I don't know, a salary of, you know, $65,000, 4.5 days off, the corner office, the big fan, big screen TV, the latest computer, the latest technology, the latest iPhone. Oh, yeah, and it's entry level. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for as I come in as an entry-level worker. Those things are earned. You know, the corner office is earned from dedication, years, tenure, reps, production, stability. And what we see nowadays, and what I'm seeing a lot of, is there's an expectation by a lot of these young student-athletes and even the families. You know, if a kid wants to play somewhere, they're expecting to be sought after. They're expecting to be recruited. Last time I checked, the only time you get recruited is when you get to college. And then you're courted if you're selected with a chance in the NFL. That's really the only time that the recruitment really matters. Not saying that the kids aren't special. Not saying that the athletes don't put in work and they don't have some special skills and they're not talented, because that they are. There's a lot of talent running around out there. But what I keep seeing is, or hearing, I should say, are many discussions with a lot of college coaches and a lot of fellow coaches, you know, at the high school level, that are saying, You know, this is something else. I had a family come in, and the questions are like, you know, what do you need on your team? Guy doesn't seem like you like him. He doesn't hear from you. Doesn't seem like you're interested in what he can do. Everything is about making the potential student athlete feel great. You know, what are you going to do as far as getting him into school? If it's a private school situation, you know, how is he going to get to school? What's the scholarship look like? You know, these things are illegal. And then they're not building up the right type of format or foundation for the student athlete once he gets to, if he's blessed enough to get to college. You will do things you're supposed to do because that's part of the job description. You know, if I'm worrying about an 8th grader or a 9th grader coming in feeling like the coach doesn't like him, or I don't like him because he hasn't heard from me and hasn't heard how much I need him on my team, that to me is a little warped. Me chasing a kid, hey, please come to my school, I really need you, please come to my school, I really need you. That's off kilter. That's out of bounds, you know. I want yeah, sure. I'd love for you to come play for me. You know, that's what the coaches talk about when we have our discussions. We'd love for you to come play. Sure. However, spending hours on the phone trying to coerce you to come play, that's not the right way to go about things. Or making promises to you that, hey, we're going to we'll pick you up, and we'll do this, and we'll feed you this, and we'll go over here, and you don't have to worry about that, and you don't have to pay this, you don't have to pay that. No, there's no sweat equity. What is the contribution being made by all parties involved? There's more to it than just getting a championship. You know, there really is. There really is. How many champions are there in every division? There's only one. How many schools are in all these divisions? You know, 50, 60, 700, who knows, right? But at the end of the day, come December 2nd of this year, there'll be one champion from Division 1 all the way to Division 13. So at the end of the day, there's going to be 13 champions. And how many schools are in the CIF Southern Section? And all of that is just one champion. So think about all those promises and all those side deals and catering jobs that were done to coerce the kid, please the kid, coerce the family, please the family to come over, only for it not to happen. So then the follow-up question is, what happens when you don't get the championship? What happens when it doesn't happen like it's been promised for you to happen? Your play time decreases. Your football IQ isn't necessarily where it needs to be. Maybe your skill set isn't where people thought it was. Maybe your attitude is poor and you don't really want to work and you're kind of cancerous. What happens then? What happens when the adversity comes? More so than not, in this millennial player, the kid wants to transfer, the parents want out. The program is no good now, the coach stinks. There's an attitude about the kid in the class, so he's not really working hard and paying his dues in the classroom, expecting a free grade or whatever the case is. You know, it's all bad, if you will. And that's not really something that, you know, you want to get yourself involved in. You know, there has to be a tougher student athlete that's coming out nowadays. You know, I had a story, I heard a couple stories. You know, it's recruiting season right now, so all the schools are out for spring ball and you're getting all kinds of visits on campus. Coaches are coming around and you're hearing about all kinds of stories where guys, you know, players are transferring, they're kicking guys off the team, and Oregon just kicked a kid off the team for getting himself, you know, in some trouble. You know, offseason, the Joker got in trouble. And Oregon, you know, giving him the boot. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, it's you know, let somebody be known, it's Oregon's fault. Not the fact that the kid violated and committed a crime. Not the fact that the kid, you know, has done something policy-wise. It's Oregon's fault. And that's a shame. That's a downright shame. Because nobody's learning, right? Nobody's benefiting. Nobody's getting better. And I'm not here to, once again, come and act like I'm holier than now. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm holier than now. I'm not saying that we have the antidote. I'm just saying that in doing this for a long time and seeing a lot of guys and having a lot of discussions with a lot of universities, and having been a guy at a university myself, a few different campuses, these are the things that you see and that you kind of scratch your head over. There was another kid that walked away from a scholarship. Another couple. I had a discussion with the young man this past weekend, this past week. They walked away from a, walked off from a scholarship, had a coaching change because that happens in the sport. Had a coaching change and he walked away from the scholarship. Only because there was a coaching change. And didn't necessarily give the new coaches a chance. Felt he needed to walk away from it. And now he's in a situation where he's at a junior college and it's not what he thought he was going to be. And he's looking to get out. And the kid was a 4.0 student. On his way to doing some things pretty big. had a chance to be a guy where he was at and felt as if he had leverage and wanted to leave. You know, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. Transfer. Go somewhere else. And there weren't any buyers for what he was selling. His time had came and gone. So now he's disgruntled. Now he's bothered. Now he's concerned. You know, now he's a little worried. Like, you know, that I don't have you know, a buying market. I don't have a market to sell my goods to. Now what? You know, and this life, this junior college life, isn't the business. It's not what it was told to me. It's not what's been promised to me. This is not what I thought it was gonna be. No, I don't. Nah, can I get some help? Well, you know, man, I don't know what to really tell you. We could try, but you kind of came and gone. Another kid left college because he had to get, you know, he was having 5:30 wake-ups and 6 o'clock practices. So walked away from a full ride, you know, a $250,000, $300,000 education for free. And the equity was getting up and lifting, going to class. Coaches are going to coach you. So his retort was, I'm not used to being coached like this or talked to this way. And I don't really feel like getting up in the morning and working like this. You know, you're getting me up at 5:30 in the morning. This is crazy. I don't do that. So he's chosen to walk away from his scholarship at a Pac-12 school. He's a 5-star athlete, and now he wants to make t-shirts back in Southern California. I'm not sure who's in his camp, and I'm not sure who's telling him that that's a good idea. But we gotta kill this lack of work ethic and start increasing the understanding that if you want something, you got to work for it. You got to put in the sweat equity. You got to put in the blood. You know, you got to put in the skin. And then the game will be good to you if you're good at it. It's required that you put in. And the athlete of today, more so than not all, because I'm not going to generalize and say they're all like this, but there's a high percentage of guys that when adversity comes, they're, you know, they're looking to be out and have a false sense of reality about what adversity does and what adversity is there for. It's there for a reason. Adversity is there for a reason. It is to grow you. It is to mature you. What ends up happening is the same person that does not stand fast now will not stand fast when adversity happens within their family. So you and the wife aren't getting along, or the job's a little tough, or you're not quite where you need to be in your job. Do you do what you need to do to get the promotion and become better? Or do you say, forget it, this job is bogus, this boss is crazy, even though he's been there 15, 20 years, I don't know. He doesn't know what he's doing, even though the company is successful, even though that's the company that you sought after and thought it was going to be the dream job. Once you get there, it's not what you thought it would be, so therefore you no longer don't want to work at it. Or, you know what? My family's great, as long as everybody's happy-go-lucky, but when adversity hits, when there's crisis in the family, whether it be sickness, whether it be financial, whether it be relational, whether it be challenges, do you stand fast, push through, or do you chalk it as an L and leave? You know what? I'm not really feeling this. I'm not into this. So I'm going to walk out on my wife and kids. I'm going to walk out on my obligations as a husband. And I'm speaking as a man now, because we're dealing with a lot of young men in this sport. We just can't have those things. You know, we can't have them. And it's a shame, because we're seeing the culture cater to the needs of the kid, and the kid feel like the recruitment of them and their need to be desired is so high that if they don't feel like they're getting the love, then they don't feel like the place is worth it or it's worthy of their services. All you got to do is look at the Instagram and the likes or the tweeters and the the Twitters and the retweets and the reposts and the snap faces and Insta chills or whatever else they got going on out there, where people are really getting their face in a knot because they didn't get enough likes, or somebody didn't like their statement, or the immediate gratification of the hearts and the retweets and the, you know, likes and the followers. And then, man, I dropped below 2,000 followers. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Those followers really ain't good anyway, so I got to rebrand and recreate myself. Yeah, that's the danger. That's where we're heading. So getting somebody to be steadfast and hold in, That's tough. You know, that's tough nowadays. They are, you know, they're struggling with these things. And it's just trickling over to everything else. And you're seeing it, football-wise, you're seeing it. How come I'm not getting offered? Well, maybe they don't see something that they want to offer. Well, that school stinks. No, they really don't. They just have a different shopping list. And maybe you're not what's on the list right now. But if you continue to go after it, maybe you can get on the list. It's all predicated on how bad you want it. And right now, the precept is, you want me, and you need to show me how bad you want me. Because I'm entitled to know that. I'm entitled to have the scholarship because, hey, I work hard. Says who? Says me. How do I know you work hard? Because I post it or I talk about it. I talk about how much I put in. And, you know, I got my gloves on and I'm taking every picture in the book. And, you know, I go here and I'm traveling across the country to this camp, that camp. You know, I work out and I train and I pay for it. So because I'm paying for it, I should expect to have it. You know, I'm paying for this. I should get it. No, it doesn't work like that. So this millennial attitude, we as parents and educators and mentors and people that see different and know better, we got to take a more active approach in kind of killing that spirit, because it's not really helpful. It's not helpful to them after life, after sports and football. It's not helpful to them as positive pillars in the community. And then it's not helpful in the arena in which we're in right now. You know, if you can just listen and hear the conversation I'm having with coaches, and I think I've spoken to in the neighborhood about 80 to 100 coaches just in the spring ball period. And then every weekend with, you know, the other things that I do, I'm talking to guys, you know, lead coaches and everything else. And our conversations are not about, you know, cover three and the power play and stopping the zone read. It is about dealing with this millennial student athlete and how much coddling that needs to take place. And really, if we're in the business of dealing with the headache. Because the reality is, we know we're going to have headaches, right? Everybody knows we're going to have a headache. It's just a matter of what headache do you want to deal with and how big of a headache you want to deal with it. And when it becomes the fact that I got to deal with the migraine every day and I really don't have to, then I got to make some business decisions. Do I need to deal with the millennial migraine? Or can I deal with the little small headache that's just due to lack of water? You know, and all I got to do is give me some water. Give me a couple of bottles of aquahydrate and let me get out the business. But that millennial headache, man, I need to go see a doctor. I need to get migraine shots. I mean, I got to do this 3, 4, 5 times a week. No, I don't know if that's worth it. So let's wake up. You know, I'm not here to be negative. Let's wake up. Let's do what we got to get done. Let's win the game back. Let's make our millennials tougher. You know, let's just change the attitude. Let's change the mindset. Let's change the work ethic. Let's get back to basics. And let's create a staying student-athlete, a student-athlete with staying power. Let's create a student-athlete with moxie, grit, determination, and grind. This has been Coach DeShawn Burns, Building a Dream Podcast. Thanks for listening. Anytime you want to chime in or get in on the podcast, you know, give me a shout out. You can follow me on Building the Dream. I have a page there that I have on Facebook. You can catch me on Instagram, look me up, or Facebook or whatnot. Let's have some discussions. Let's talk. All right. See you soon. Thanks.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.